Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew, chapter 18. This week we'll begin by looking at verses 21 through the end of the chapter, or verse through verse 35. Jesus had been dealing with offenses. Last week he told us how to deal with a brother, fellow church member, who sinned against us, trespassed against us, had injured us. And going to that individual, presenting the case, presenting the fact that he had sinned against you, and that if he heard you, if he repented of his trespass against you, his sin, you've gained your brother. And if not, there was another step to be involved with witnesses. And still not listening, then to come before the church. But he repents. He says, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry I did that. And Peter, you, old Peter, then came Peter, verse 21 says. And he asked him a question and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? He had just received instructions. Then Peter came. Upon having received those instructions concerning offenses and concerning his brother sinning against him, and if he repents, he's to forgive him. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Well, we notice something in this statement. He knows that he must forgive. Because he says, how oft shall I forgive him? So Peter knows he's to forgive him. Upon his repentance, I must forgive him. But how many times, Lord, shall I forgive him? The rabbi teach that you're to forgive him three times. Three times he sins against you, and three times you forgive him, but not the fourth. So Peter says, well, okay, the rabbis three times, but not the fourth. And Jesus has been preaching forgiveness. Taught him that in the Sermon on the Mount and praying to the Father. forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive others. Lord. So Peter says, seven times. That's a good number. That's the number of completion, he says. Perfection. And it's more than twice as many times as the rabbi are teaching. Boy, you can just see Peter, can't you? He thinks, that's a good number of times to forgive somebody. How many times do you expect that I'm going to forgive him? That's probably involved in the question. How many times do you expect that I should forgive him? Well, Jesus, of course, being wisdom personified, says in verse 22, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times sevens. I say not unto thee until seven times. In other words, take notice, Peter, of what I'm about to say. I do not agree with you. There is not a fixed number. Is that not what he's saying? But until 70 times 7. Let me ask you, who is going to keep record of 490? You're going to lose track somewhere along the way. So what he's saying is, there is no set number of times. And you know, it's not Christ-like to keep record of offenses. Let that sink in. Think about that for a minute. It's not Christ-like to keep record of your brother's trespasses against you. And that's going to be made evident by the time Jesus gets through with his instructions. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms in 78. And look at verse 38. But he being full of compassion, that is God being full of compassion with Israel. That's what he's rehearsing here. Israel's disobedience, Israel's sin. But he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not, yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, many a time. For he remembered that they were but flesh, and a wind that passeth away, that cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness? How often did they? Constant. And grieve him in the desert. How often did they? You see, it's not Christ-like to keep record of those offenses. It should be our constant practice of forgiving, no matter how many times they come asking forgiveness. It should be a habit of ours, as often as the occasion arises, we must forgive. Amen. Look at what Jesus said on another occasion. Maybe the same occasion. Sounds, if you read the record here in Luke chapter 17, sounds like pretty much the same occasion, maybe. But look at Luke chapter 17 and verse 4. Dealing with trespasses. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. I don't know, I get pretty weary after three or four times in a day. And listen, this principle that we're talking about here is demonstrated to us by what Jesus says in the following parable. So let us take a look at the parable. In verse 23, he says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, a certain man. This certain man was Lord. This certain man was master, which would take account. In other words, he had the books. He had the accounting. He would take account of his servants. He had the record. The day of accounting has come. He's got the book. He's got the record. Bring the servants in. And to this servant, you owe me this much. This servant, you owe me this much. It was an accounting. Listen, the day of reckoning has come here in this parable. The day of reckoning has come. It's time to settle up. It's time to settle the account. But notice in verses 24 through 27 what transpires here. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, set him free, and forgave him the debt. This master, this Lord, this certain king, is merciful. One was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. That doesn't mean a whole lot to you and I, but let me tell you, that is a great number. That is a great number. I just read one figure in 1915, according to the British equation. 1914. This would a talent of gold, mind you, would have been worth about $300 million. And a talent of silver, somewhat less than that, it would have been probably over $100 million in 1915. The point is, it was a great sum. The debt was great. Yeah, And he forgave him. He forgave him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. The meaning, it certainly is just an exceeding great debt. It was exceeding large. One that he could not pay. Listen, I say to you this morning, the sin of man is a debt. It is an exceeding great debt to God. It's a trespass. It's an exceeding great trespass. Says it against God. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, in verse 4, we read, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law of God. For sin is the transgression of the law." Every time a man sins, he sins against God. It is a trespass against God. Amen. And the record just keeps getting larger and larger and larger. It's a great sin debt. And an account of these debts is kept. We're told in the book of Romans in chapter 4 and verse 8, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin," will not reckon sin, will not account sin. It tells us there that there is an account kept of man's sin, and certain ones he doesn't impute. He doesn't account of their sin. Listen, the debt of sin is very great. Exceeding large. As the 10,000 talents. That's why that figure was used, because it was an exceeding great debt that which no man could pay. The debt of sin is so great that we are not able to pay it. Verse 25, he said, "For as much as he had not to pay." Listen, there is no man that can pay his sin debt. He has nothing wherewith to pay it with. Romans chapter 3, in verse 9 there, in writing to the Romans, Paul concludes that everyone, doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, all are under sin. Amen. All are under sin. All have this great sin debt. We're bankrupt. Nothing wherewith to pay. We're deserving of hell. Everyone. Sinners must humble themselves before God, as this servant did, who owed the 10,000 talents. They had this great debt. Sinners must humble themselves before God, as this servant did. He fell down and worshiped. He falling down is a sign of humility. It's humble. He fell prostrate on his face before his master. before his Lord. His address to his master was very submissive, and it was an importunate, persistent. He said, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay all." Just more time. Give me more time. Many a man think, "Well, just a little longer. Just a little longer and I'll pay. Just a little longer and I'll have done enough good works." That's what they think. By the time I'm 70, 80, 90 years of age, I'll have done enough good works that I'll be all right. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness, God's goodness, and forbearance and long suffering? Romans 2:4 says, "Know you not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" It's only the goodness of God, it's only the favor of God which will bring about repentance in your life. The God of infinite mercy forgives the sins of those who are humbled before Him. He forgives sins. Sin's pardon is due to the mercy of God. In the book of Luke, in chapter 1, the book of Luke in chapter 1. In verse 77. "To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins," the remitting of their sins, the forgiving of their sins, the wiping out the account, the debt, "through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." The day spring from on high, Jesus Christ hath visited us. The salvation of God hath visited us. Why? Because of the tender mercy of God.
Amen.
Upon his people. I say to you this morning, there is forgiveness with God. Turn with me to Psalms 130. Psalms 130. Look at verses 3 and 4. "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" Oh Lord, if you take notice of, if you take account of iniquities, then who shall abide? Who shall stand? I like verse 4 though. "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." There is forgiveness with God. The forgiveness of our sin is the loosing of the debt. It is the setting free, setting us free of the debt. Being free of the debt, we're free of the guilt. associated with the debt. The book of Colossians chapter 1, in verse 14, says, in whom we have redemption. That's in Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How? How does forgiveness of our sins come? It comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we must have faith in that. Well, verses 28 to 30, that servant goes out. He's been loosed, he's been set free, he's been forgiven. Let's read verses 28 through 30. But the same servant, that one who was forgiven, set free, went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Oh, this servant, this one who had been forgiven much, he deals harshly. Take note, he goes out and forgets of the great debt which he owed and had been forgiven it. He went and found one of his fellow servants, a fellow creature, a fellow Christian, a fellow church member. And he deals harshly with him. And note that the debt was small. Very small. Very, there's no comparison. The 10,000 talents that he was forgiven, and this servant that he deals harshly with owed him 100 pence. That was, according to the writers, Jewish, that was about a day's wages. Very small in comparison to the 10,000. You got the picture? Are you getting the picture?
Yeah, amen.
100 pence is a very small sum in comparison to the 10,000 talents which he had owed previously. Notice that the demand was severe. He laid hands on him. He laid hands on... He didn't just lay hands on him. He took him by the throat. Demanding, insisting that he pay all that he owed him. Notice the debtor. Notice the submission of the debtor. Notice the humility of the debtor. He repented, we could say. He fell down at his feet. Just like he had done to his Lord. He fell down at his feet. And pleaded with him. which was the most humble and submissive manner, desiring him to be patient, and he would pay all. The same thing that he had done with his Lord, with the Lord before him. Ah, but the creditor was unyielding and violent. In verse 30. Unyielding, he would not yield. And he cast him into the prison till he should pay all of that. Do you have a picture here? It doesn't matter that it's 100 pounds. If he's cast into prison, how's he going to pay him? You know, there's some church members just like that. So unforgiving. So uncompassionate. All they want is justice. Retribution. Revenge. Notice there were some other servants. There were some other fellow servants. They were looking on, verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. These fellow servants, they were deeply sorry when they saw the wrong treatment, the ill treatment of their fellow servant. They were deeply troubled. They probably even had known what that servant's Lord had done for him in forgiving him. And they saw his harsh and ruthless treatment. His fellow servants. And they were deeply troubled. That's what that means. They were very sorry. They were deeply troubled. So, they went away complaining. They went and told the master, that certain king. That certain king, the one who had forgiven the first servant. They went and told the one who had forgiven their fellow so great a debt of his ill conduct, of his misbehavior. This may be as Gill says, and I like it, and I think it's so. He says, church members, being grieved at such cruel methods, going to the throne of grace and spreading the case before the Lord. And I think that scenario fits it perfectly because the context, remember verses 15 to 20, is dealing with church members and trespasses against fellow members. And Peter comes saying, well, how many times should I forgive him? And the Lord has given us an example. And these fellow servants, having witnessed this mistreatment, they go before the throne of grace, fall upon their knees to the Lord. Church members. Spreading the matter before the Lord. Notice verses 32 and 33, the master's just reproof. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Notice that. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee? He, in his mistreatment of his fellow, not being compassionate and merciful, had not manifest one who had been forgiven even a little bit, let alone a whole lot. When we experience forgiveness, doesn't that make us willing to forgive? It ought to. That's the point of this parable. It ought to make us willing to forgive. And especially then when we realize how much we've been forgiven. Amen. In another place, Jesus said, he that has been forgiven little loveth little. But he that has been forgiven much loveth much. Same expression of compassion and mercy being extended. And this man went out being forgiven much. All that debt. And he didn't act as though he remembered being forgiven so great a debt. Many times, church members behave themselves as though they've forgotten how much they've been forgiven. And we can't even forgive our brethren that little bit. Notice how he reproved him. He said, Oh, thou wicked servant! He doesn't mince any bones about it. That kind of behavior is wickedness. Thou cruel and hard-hearted man. You've behaved in a cruel and hard-hearted manner towards your fellow. And in so doing, you're ungrateful to me. You're ungrateful to my goodness, which I have extended unto you. That's the parable. When we behave in that manner, we're ungrateful. We're ungrateful what the Lord has done for us. When we behave that way. He also severely reproved him with the mercy which he had found with him. He said, I forgave thee all that debt. My mercy was great upon you. I freely forgave you those 10,000 talents. Well, he then tells him of his obligation that he was under. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion? In other words, folks, we are to exhibit, manifest the same compassion that has been showed us. We're to manifest that compassion to others as well. He should have showed the same compassion that he had been shown, even as I had pity on thee, he said. He should have been more like the Master. Sing a song. More like the Master I would ever be. More of His meekness. More humility would I show. More like the Master I would ever be. Well, verse 34, the servant is turned over to the tormentors. And his Lord was wroth. That simply means he was very angry. He was enraged and delivered him over to the torturers. That's what the tormentors mean. The torturers. It wasn't just into the prison. It was to those ones who implemented torture. Payment. We could say chastisement. Till he should pay all. Which being such a great sum, as we've tried to point out earlier, would never be paid. Listen. Man's sin debt. That sin debt that you and I have been forgiven is so great that if we had not been forgiven, we would spend eternity in hell. Why eternity in hell? Because it can never be paid. Amen. It can never be paid by us. Well, verse 35 is simply the application, which we've been trying to point out here at the last. He said, so likewise, so my heavenly Father do also unto you. And the Father in heaven shall act in like manner towards all who are merciless and unforgiving of their brethren. Keep in mind context. Brothers in Christ, in the church, fellow church members, one trespasses against another. He repents. He's to be forgiven. If we don't, we've been forgiven much. If we don't, we can look forward to what? Well, Hebrews chapter 12. We can look forward to the chastening hand of God upon us. We love 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We're to exhibit the same faithfulness in forgiving my brother of his trespass against me as the Lord exhibits toward me and forgiving me. My sin. You see, the application is our duty. The answer to Peter's question is to forgive. Notice it's from the heart. It's from the heart. That's where true forgiveness lies. In forgiving our brothers and sisters of their trespasses against us. It's from the heart. He says, if ye from your hearts forgive not. In other words, if you don't find it in your heart to forgive, if you refuse to forgive because it's not in your heart, first of all, are you even a child of God? That's a point, secondary point that Christ is making here. Are you even a child of God?
You see, the behavior of a child of God is because he's been forgiven much, he'll forgive little.
Forgiveness is in the heart. Amen. We should forgive our brothers their trespasses. Yes. Every injury, whether by word or deed, all offenses should be forgiven. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, he said, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. In Colossians 3 and verse 13, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Shall we stand, have a song?